All right, guys, welcome back to recording this silly show. I gotta say, though, after having that weekend off, I was really tempted to just like, you know what, guys, let's have another weekend off.
We had a weekend off?
What do you mean? Rudy.
Well, for the people that actually show up consistently, yes. I know for some of them, it's like, some people, you know, this is barely a show, but still.
Yeah, it did feel nice. I mean, Anna's not going to be in the show right now, but yeah, you know. But
hey, Anna, we miss you. I miss you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she's doing something much more fun right now.
I was kidding.
Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show, where we share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, cases seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
My name is Ruthie.
This is Johnny.
So, do you guys have to use ChatGPT?
Yes.
How often?
ChatGPT? I
don't
know. Wait, so hold on. Jamming, you're no, right? I'm also no.
Nope.
I'm also
really?
No. Yeah.
Never?
Not, I want to say never, but it's very rare. And if I was going to do it, it would be using Gemini. And even then, it would be like generate image. You know, it's not kind of a thing. So nothing like if it's a question, I just go to Google, like traditionally I would, right? So you, Ruthie, you're saying you use ChatGPT often.
Yes. Now,
is it because it's on the iPhone or do you literally just go to the website and do it?
Both. I have an app, a chat AI app. Mm-hmm. Which just basically like I'll ask, I still go to Google to ask for things just information wise. But if I actually use it a lot more for work, like constructing emails. So I'll like write out my thoughts and like how, like what I want to say, and then kind of have ChatGPT refine it for me. It's just so time consuming to have to, like, especially when you're so heated sometimes and you just need to reply to somebody and it's like, how do I say it professionally? Please make this more professional and friendly without sounding as snarky as this email, then copy paste and then ChatGPT magically rephrases everything and it sounds so much better. It's kind of like getting a second opinion without having to get a second opinion. And then I don't copy and paste it word for word. I always like restructure it, but it gives me a better idea, and like I'll do it like 3 or 4 times.
I like how you bookend that, or at least like you opened it with saying like make it less snarky than it actually is. Ruthie, you're writing a professional document and you're already snarky in the beginning.
listen, there's a lot of people who don't like to think logically.
Okay. So it sounds like there's a bunch of like little like what do you call that, passive aggressive complaints on your thing.
Exactly. And as a Virgo, sometimes I can come off as very passive aggressive. So I'm like, please remove the passive aggressiveness in this email, or make me sound a little bit less. Yeah, because sometimes I could be very blunt, and I'm like, yes, make it sound a little bit more. What do you call this? A little more palatable. Like, rephrase this using words that are more corporate jargony, things like that.
And for me, my emails mostly go to overseas, and it's because, you know, English is their second language. I write it in my normal voice and stuff like that. But keep it simple, direct, and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
So yeah,
that's one of the reasons I don't use ChatGPT. I mean, besides the whole AI of it all.
That's exactly why I use ChatGPT when I'm talking to clients or I'm talking to other American coworkers or counterparts, because like I'm so used to talking to factories in China where you're just more direct, you're just more concise, and you don't have to like make it sound too friendly, make it sound too nice, make it sound too flowery, or over explain things, because like they just get it. Like there's language barrier, so you just need to get straight to the point. And sometimes when you talk like that to clients, like they think you're being snarky or unprofessional, or like you have an attitude, or you're being condescending to them. So then I have to like rephrase, but without having to like reset my mind to like go from talking to the factory to like talking to a client or talking to a counterpart. And it's like, okay, ChatGPT can just do this for me, because like I don't have the time to or the bandwidth for this.
And when you email overseas, you also want to avoid colloquialism, you know what I mean? American phrases, American sayings and stuff like that.
Exactly.
You also have to lead them sort of in a way, you know what I mean? You don't want because you just want to lead them to action and stuff like that. You don't want you don't want to have misinterpretation and stuff like that. Just
exactly.
This is A. My reply is A, B, and C. You need to do D. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
And that's it. Yeah. So and that's what I like. The 99% of my emails go to overseas. So I have no interest in using ChatGPT to do any of that stuff. You know what I mean? And also for other stuff, for questions like Albert said, questions, I'll just ask, you know, Google, TikTok, sometimes YouTube. You know what I mean? ChatGPT is not in my life at all.
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, I use YouTube a lot when I ask questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially if it involves like, you know, like fixing something or whatever. It's always for me, YouTube. Before I go away from the reason why I even brought this up, there is a study from MIT. MIT just completed the first brain scan study on ChatGPT users, and the results are terrifying. It says here, 4 months of data revealed the cost of easy answers. Here's what they discovered. 83% of people who used ChatGPT to write couldn't remember anything they wrote just minutes later. True, Ruthie? Is that true?
No, because I actually write my email. I don't like have ChatGPT write my email for me.
Correct. I'm just joking. I say only 11% forgot when they used Google or their own brain. So that's your fall in their 11%, I guess.
Wow. Really? Like no memory retention at all?
Well, like you said, they just tell ChatGPT do this and then they printed it out and then there we go. So, I mean, this is assuming they even read it, right? What ChatGPT wrote.
True.
Yeah.
See, like when I use Google, like I actually am interested in the answer.
Yeah.
Like I actually am I genuinely have a question that I want to know the answer to. So like I tend to like remember a lot of things that I Google.
Yeah. Yeah. No, same here. Cause I mean, I think you're an active participant when you Google something.
Mm-hmm.
See, so your brain scans told a terrifying story. Neural connections crashed from 79 to just 42, a 47% collapse. What that means is if your laptop lost half its power, you throw it out. That's exactly what's happening inside the brains of heavy ChatGPT users. The human brain, when left to think for itself, fires on all cylinders. In contrast, life language model assisted writing risks leaving the engine idle. You know, so essentially what's happening here is, I mean, none of us have kids in schools or whatever. I know we know some, but we never really ask this kind of question. But how often do students actually use ChatGPT? And I'm starting to think more and more of them are just doing that. So
I think it's just because it's so accessible that
they're
just using it for school without really it being a requirement.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I use it for the funner side of it. You know, like I said, creating images or whatever. Even though it all comes down to like using AI is going to ruin the environment. But here we are. All right. It's the 889th episode of the show. And after this recording, it's currently 5:55 p.m. and 55 seconds, just because. July 13, 2025 in Livermore, California. And it's time to take a look and see what's up.
What's up?
So this couple here almost paid $30,000 more on their income taxes. Why? Why? Because when they were paying, when they had to pay back their, I guess they owed money to the government, they sent a check. First off, this is why you don't send checks, okay? So on the checks, she wrote down $3,360. Okay. And apparently, she actually wrote out, because you know how you have, if you remember, listeners, if you remember how to write checks,
you have to write it out in words.
Yeah, write it out in words and then put the figure on the side of the box, right? Mm-hmm. She actually wrote out, okay, first off, once again, on the box, it says $3,360 and 00 cents, right? Mm-hmm. On the worded part, she put down $33,000. Plus 60.
Oh, she's just an idiot.
Yeah,
it's a very big oops, essentially.
Mm-hmm. If you're old enough to pay taxes, you should know how to write out your numbers and words.
But if you're old enough to pay taxes, you're not smart enough to do other stuff besides, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like, yeah. And apparently, according to this article, they are still waiting for the IRS to get back to them about this.
Good luck.
Didn't take the. I mean, did she have that much money for them to take out?
Well, that's the thing, though. She did not. right? So then the IRS like, hey, you didn't give us enough money. You know, here's a $661 penalty.
That's insane. Like, doesn't the IRS know how much they owe?
You know what? I gave you too much money. What do you think of that? You should write me a check. How about that?
Do the IRS ever question how much money you give them if it's a big amount? I mean,
I know, well, right? if nothing else,
they voided the check, though, right? I mean, well, I think they're saying she didn't have that much money, so they voided. So should she just send them the check? That should be the end of it.
Oh, if she was smart enough to void it, right?
Yeah, I don't think she was smart enough to void it, but she must have sent it out already. You know what I mean, that's how she found out. She wrote the right number, right?
And she probably got a bounced back email.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or notification or something.
No, so this dispute is, so the real thing is not that she's going to pay, you know, thousands. She didn't have the money, so they couldn't take out that $1,000. And the thing is, she's just trying to not pay the penalties, which is what's going on.
Well, admittedly, she tries to get a hold of the IRS. Hey, you tried to withdraw the wrong amount, right? And according to this, the check bounced twice. Right, for obvious reasons.
She really tried.
So none of them looked at the right side to go, hey, I think she meant to put down 3,360 instead, because the box.
Everybody's just stupid,
right? So yeah, it's just a horrible situation. I think.
The IRS definitely one of those institutions getting people getting fired left and right, getting let go left and right. But it's just common sense. If they had enough people, enough staff and stuff like that, it's common sense. Somebody would just made a phone call or something like that saying, hey, you know, we're going to void this check, resend it within X amount of days. There won't be any penalties and that's it. It's a very simple solve.
When you guys receive a check, do you do the mobile app to scan it to deposit?
Yes.
I do too. So that makes a question. If the IRS was doing that method, wouldn't it have seen the numerical number instead of the worded one?
Usually.
So they're not doing that then? There's a physical person looking at the check and then they're really just reading it out?
And apparently this person is an idiot?
There's so many questions in situations. But yeah. It's just a ridiculous situation.
If this
situation.
Is a proper society, this is a society with common sense. It's a pretty simple solve. You know what I mean? If they weren't understaffed and had common sense, it's a pretty easy solve. You know? The check just made a mistake. It's not that big a deal. You know what I mean? They should just, it's an easy solve to me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay. To be the nice person, don't give her the penalty or anything like that. You know, just hey, send in a check. You have X amount of days. Because the fear might be, or the thinking might be, oh, maybe she did it deliberate. Maybe she didn't have the money at all or something like that. You know what I mean? So let's penalize her. But let's just have some grace and stuff. Have some grace and common sense. Say, you know what? Hey, this check is voided. You get X amount of days to send another check. Or, you know what? Go on this website, put a routing number. How about that? Why don't you do that? You know what I mean? And let's just move on. So
yeah. The fact that this wasn't easily resolved with just like a simple like void the check or just like contact the bank. Hey, by the way, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the world works now, I guess, in America. So
yeah.
All right. Speaking of stupid mistakes or whatever. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned a story about how a GameStop was selling Switch 2s, and was stapling the receipts on the box that it was so close to the screen of the Switch 2 that when people opened up the box, the Switch 2 had two puncture marks on their screen. Essentially, like, it was bitten by a vampire, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This became a PR nightmare for GameStop, and all these people had to like return it and get it switched out with a better thingamabob. Well, GameStop realized that, hey, they could make an opportunity out of this and try to do something from this bad publicity. So, Jiaming, would you like to guess what they did with this story?
Oh, I have no idea. First of all, I'm surprised GameStop is still around. I thought they closed. You know what I mean? The one near me closed and stuff like that. So I'm surprised it's still around. What did they do? I don't know. It made something cute. Like you said, there was some vampire stickers or something like that to seal the bags and stuff like that. I don't know.
How about you, Rudy? What do you think they did to try to turn this around?
Sorry, what was the question again?
So essentially, if you weren't listening, because you probably weren't, they were stapling receipts on the Switch 2 box, and that was accidentally like actually puncturing the screen of the Switch 2.
Oh, crap.
Right. So now, weeks later, GameStop came up with this brilliant idea, like, hey, let's turn this around, this publicity, to good publicity. So what did they do?
Whoa, I just got this flash of deja vu. What happened here? Why are you repeating the story?
Wait, say that again?
No!
There's something wrong with the Matrix, guys.
So anyways, what ended up happening was they decided, like, you know, GameStop posted this online and go, the infamous Switch 2 stapler is now available for auction.
Oh, there you go.
Proceeds benefit Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Right. So at least
what I don't understand is why are they stapling it the receipt to a box?
We had this discussion with Jamming a while back that you were clearly were not an episode of Ruthie, so that let's not litigate this again.
Okay.
Okay.
Fine. Totally listened to that show, by the way.
Basically, me and Jami decided that we can't blame the employees because they clearly don't know what's in the box, right?
Yeah.
For all they know, there was space there. For all they know, there wasn't. You know, so it's
and like, also for something
why
that
are they stapling?
The thing is, for something that pricey, there's a chance of being returned, right? So you don't want the customer saying, oh, I never got a receipt or I lost my receipt. So it's a precautionary thing for a possible return.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been nice if they were told, don't staple on this side of the box, you know, whatever.
How much are Switches anyway? And, like, there has been technology.
And also in this day and age, there should be a digital receipt, by the way.
That's what I mean.
But that's a whole thing.
That's a whole other thing. But even back in, like, 2010 and 2005, there used to be retail stores that could, if you lost your receipt, you just take your credit card that you used, they can swipe that, and then they could find the receipt.
Right. Well, GameStop is
yeah.
Old school traditional brick and mortar store that still uses paper receipts and whatnot. Besides that,
even with paper
point.
Receipts, POS yes, POS has reports whoa, where they can pull up receipts.
There's that feeling of deja vu again, guys.
Besides that point. Besides that point.
Right, from that last show that I wasn't on that I totally listened to.
Yes, good yes, Lord. Yes. Besides that point. So they had this little thing that they were going to sell on eBay. They had like a Switch 2, presumably one that isn't stapled on. They have the stapler that was used to staple things. Who knows if that's actually authentic or not? And they had I mentioned that because they also have a certificate of authenticity, right? It says here, item one, the black stapler. The black stapler used by GameStop Associate who in moment of lunch night excitement and misjudge enthusiasm stapled a receipt directly, blah, blah, blah.
How do you get that certified? Can you imagine getting a call from a notary saying, wait, you want me to do what?
Besides that point, item two, the first staple Nintendo Switch 2. So they literally are selling a staple Nintendo Switch 2. Okay.
Yeah.
Item three, the box that came in it. Item four, the staple. Okay. So how much is this going on eBay? Keep in mind, this is for charity. All right.
I think it's $100. I think it's $100 for her.
Okay. Ruti?
$250
what?
$250.
Oh, okay. Because I thought you meant the...
No, this is the IRS. I mean, $250,000. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. $249,900.
No.
$1,000?
As of the time...
$250,000?
As of this time that this episode is being listened to people, the auction would have ended on Wednesday morning at 9:51 a.m. Okay? So,
who bought it?
Nobody's bought it yet. But the current price right now, the highest price right now is $249,900.
That can't be legit. That's a psych. I'll see you later, guys.
So what is saying, this? The banana with the duct tape on the wall?
So you're saying this is a troll bid? There's 284 bids, guys. Mm. 284
bids. If the bid, when the timer runs out on the bid, wouldn't the bidder then be responsible for that?
Yes,
bid?
That's exactly what happened. So I'm assuming
how much information
this has to be
the person
real.
Provided. I'm like, you know what? Nope. That guy's MIA, man. Is this second highest bid like $200?
They've already canceled that credit card.
Yeah. I know. What's the second highest? What's the second highest bid?
Wait, I mean, tell me I have to log into eBay here? Hold on. Let me see if I can.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
Let's see if I still have information. Now I'm curious. Okay. This is the right account.
You mean you can't ask Google or ChatGPT?
No, because you know, if you look at the eBay posting, you can see without an account. But if you want to see beyond that, then yeah, you can like click on it. If you have, I'm clicking all this stuff.
Yeah.
Create a passkey. Is this actually you? Blah 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 blah. Okay, hold on. I'm almost there.
I reset the question.
I'm almost there. Help us protect your account. Make sure you're up to date. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's me.
If I was the highest bidder, you know what credit card information I would...
All right, here we go.
69, 69, 69.
Okay, so the second bid was the same amount. I don't know how that works. The July 11, July 12. Okay. July, before that was 249,000. So it started off at how much? Scroll down. Starting price is a dollar. Okay. And then it went, it immediately went to $110,000, $600. Woo.
So much money. So much money.
Right now, there are three accounts that have retracted their bid. So some of them have already said, like, no, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah. This bit has gone far enough.
Yeah. So there were a couple of people, they're like trolling clearly, and they decided, okay, I got to get out. I didn't know you can retract bids now on eBay, or has it always been the case? Clearly, I don't use eBay often.
Yeah, I don't use it either, so.
So, when I go on eBay, I just outright buy something.
Yeah. So clearly people were doing this for the charity. Like, here's some rich person's like, okay, here's a couple $100,000, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I guess good for that. I mean, that is turning around the story into something fun, I guess. All right. Moving on. Switch to Steel News. I didn't mention this last time when I talked Switch jamming. Brazilian agency formally notifies Nintendo over console breaking EULA clause.
No, I don't remember this one.
So, Nintendo has it in their EULA, which stands for, what was it again? Their terms of service. I know terms of service. Oh, and user license agreement. It's right there in the article, Albert. That essentially, if they do anything to it that they deem to be like piracy or circumventing their system, blah, 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 they can remotely disable your unit.
Hmm.
Right, remotely, as long as you're connected to the internet, which most devices nowadays are. So if they deem that you are doing something that you're not supposed to do, they can remotely brick your console that you paid $450 for, right? So Brazil is going on with the whole idea that hey Nathan, you can't do this. I know it's in your end user agreement, but you still can't do this. They paid money for that hardware. The hardware should still be able to work. Despite your protests of them doing something else with it. So, yeah. So.
Interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah. Because, I mean, if Brazil is successful in this, but like, which I guess will only be a Brazil thing, then other companies kind of can't do that. Because I think some companies have done that in the past for their products. So, yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
I'll leave it off with that. And that's What's Up.
What is that?
You can find this podcast on Instagram, Blue Sky Threads, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram and Letterboxd at Albert5x5.
You can find me on Instagram at RuthieGrace13 and Ruthie's Cats.
You can find me on social media, JIAMINGLOU.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Updates, contact info, ways to support us, and everything else is on the show notes found on whowhatwhereswhy.com. Before we wrap things up, so apparently, if I ever go to Europe, which I don't see myself ever doing that at this point.
I'll drag you one day in a luggage.
In a luggage, yeah, yeah.
Have you been to Mexico?
And then I'll end up in El Salvador, yeah.
Wait, have you been to Mexico?
I have been to Mexico.
Oh, yeah, okay. You've been to Tijuana, that's right.
Yeah, a long time ago. But anyways.
Because I was going to say, man, Europe seems ambitious, man. I want to try south of the border first. You know what I mean?
So apparently in Europe, and I guess specifically Spain.
España.
Español. No, that's different one. That's Mexico. Anyways, Spain.
I just said España.
Spain. But anyways.
España.
Okay, so apparently, if I in Spain, me being somebody who actually has a Google Pixel phone, apparently, whenever cops sees a person with a Pixel phone, they automatically think they're a criminal, a drug dealer, or a gang member in Spain's Catalonia.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
JD.
And
why Google phone?
No, well, specifically Google Pixel. Because Google Pixel is one of the phones that can use Graphene OS.
I think we know what. I'm sorry, what?
Graphene OS. Graphene OS is the most private OS operating system for any phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
It basically removes any kind of sort of tracking stuff that all other phones have. Yes, including iPhone.
JD.
You know, so basically, if you really want to protect yourself from big government or, you know, Big Brother, you get yourself a Graphene OS Pixel phone. And so apparently, it's common enough that the cops have seen people doing this, that if you have a Pixel phone, they automatically think you're a criminal.
Makes sense.
Does not make sense. This is the same thing as like a racial profiling. Oh, he has a Pixel phone.
Not quite the same, but
I mean, okay, fine. It's tech profiling.
Yeah, tech profiling. There we go. It says here, in Catalonia, a pixel sighting now raises more than just tech curiosity. It raises red flags.
Yeah. I support what they're doing.
Yeah, Graphene OS, the developer for this OS, said European authoritarians, they go down in European authoritarians, and their enablers in the media are misrepresenting Graphene OS and even Pixel phones as if they're something for criminals. Graphene OS is opposed to the mass surveillance police state these people want to impose on everyone. Mm. All right. Well, there we go. So I guess I will never step foot in.
Well, now that he used the term police state, now I'm on his side. Damn it. I was trying to profile Pixel users, you know, Android users in general, but I'm fine.
Yes. But yeah, Graph, if you ever want to, which I don't even do that because I don't care. So yeah, but Graphene OS, if you want to really, really privacy, if you're one of those guys who are so high up on the privacy stuff and you're not using Graphene OS, then you're just full of shit. But okay. All right, this was episode 889 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who What Where's Why production. I know, I keep saying Letterboxd, but I haven't posted my Letterboxd in months. Yeah, eventually I will.
I follow Letterboxd's like YouTube channel. Like the people on there are like really, really, really hardcore cinephiles and stuff like that. But to me, it's just too much work. You know what I mean? I think I downloaded it back in the day when it first came out and stuff like that. I kind of looked through it, but it's just too much work. I just save.
What is Letterboxd?
Letterboxd is a social media site specifically on reviewing movies.
Hmm? Oh, good. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. But that's why I don't know it. I don't feel too bad now that I don't know it.
You log in every movie you see and stuff like that, and then if you want to, you can give a star rating, write a little review.
Yeah. The gimmick with Letterboxd that gets people attention on Letterboxd is when they make jokey one-sentence, two-sentence reviews of a movie. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what Twitter used to be when people would review movies in Twitter. They'll have like a jokey, mm-hmm. like, well, if it wasn't for that horse and that one guy, this movie would have turned out so much differently. You know, that kind of thing?
The actress from The Bear, Ayo Edebiri, she has a very kind of, I don't know if she posts it anymore, but she has a very like funny Letterboxd account. You know what I mean? She'll write these very funny Letterboxd reviews for movies and stuff. So yeah, that's a good example if you want to Google that later.
I kind of started my Letterboxd like a serious review kind of thing. Like I'm actually like reviewing the movie, but now I got to really flip to like, you know, just do a jokey review because... That's probably easier to do, quote unquote easier, because sometimes you kept the jokes. But it's only like a couple sentences. Because right now I'm like writing paragraphs on the freaking thing, and I'm like, I really shouldn't have to do that.
it's just movies, right? There's no TV, right?
I don't think there's TV. I don't remember seeing TV.
But I think just movies.
Just movies.
Yeah, like I said, I looked through it a little bit. It's just too much work. I just write down the movies and TV shows I see in my notes app. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it still hot as balls in New York City right now?
Not since yesterday and today. It was. Oh, okay. It's been tolerable. Right now, it's 78 degrees outside.
So it's the same as finally. Us. Same as us right now, then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it humid?
It was. No. It hasn't been.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
It was humid on Friday, and every day before. So Friday, Thursday, Wednesday was humid. And it was just hot from like last Saturday to Tuesday, like 90s straight, like upper 90s all throughout and humid.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
Sucks. Yeah. I even had a friend who was visiting from the Philippines, and even she was like we would, and this is like a common misconception that Filipinos we don't mind the heat, and like obviously that's not true. You know, that's why we live in malls. And like we were just like walking in and out of the sun, like every time we would walk. We would go, oh, there's a coffee shop. You want to grab some iced coffee or some iced tea? And we would just like sit for like 30 to 45 minutes to cool off and then like start again, like walk around outside and then like find another place, go back inside for AC.
That is a good point though, actually. I remember my time in the Philippines, I was as much as possible trying to always stay indoors.
Yeah. No, we don't like the heat.
Mall life.
We're just forced to live in it.
That's why there's still a lot of malls in the Philippines because, you know, that's where you get the AC.
Yeah,
free AC, the best.
And like we blast AC too, like to the point where it's freezing when you walk inside. Like I feel like malls here are not like that. Malls here, it's like the AC is temperate. Like it's cool, but it's not It's not freezing. Yeah, you know, it doesn't actually like blast you with cold air as soon as you walk in. Like sometimes you just need that blast of cold air from the heat.
It's that save your money temperature kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like comfortably cool.
I told you the time I went to Singapore, right? I went to that famous mall, that, you know, that high-end mall. It's attached to the hotel that's like goes like a million feet in the air, a million stories up, right? And then you go in there and the AC that hits you is like God's sake. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable to go from that humidity to that AC. And I don't know how they do it, man. It's gotta be some sort of nuclear powered AC or something like that. It's just unbelievable that they could AC anything with that much square feet and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's remarkable. Yeah. AC the best.
It is. Like how are we not a third world country, guys?
We are. How are we not?
We totally are. We're just like dressed up in a nice bow. Yeah.
You see a lot of stuff. I mean, this came out last month, but you see that thing with the, I think it's a Swedish village, right? This remote Swedish village, like 300 people live there. And then the thing is they forecast because of science. You've heard of science, right? But because of science, they figured out.
I'm American. We don't follow science. Yeah, no.
What do you mean science?
They figured out that there was going to be an avalanche. You know what I mean? That the rock slide was coming. And you know what they did? They did the thing where they evacuated, including they flew out a couple of cows too. You know what I mean? They evacuated. The village was lost. At least nobody died. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean they put human life in value over the loss of commerce?
You know what they did? You know what the villagers didn't do? They didn't say, you know what? We're going to say no to your science. You know what I mean? Get out of here, Biden. We'll give you $10 million. Get out of here.
I'm going to protect my home with my bare hands against a towering avalanche.
And there was some big flooding in China, too. Same thing, man. They lost like two people. Given the number, the square feet that they have covered, the amount of people they had to save and all that stuff, it's remarkable they only lost two people. And, you know, the second it happened, their equivalent of National Guard, emergency doctor, the army, they all flew out there and stuff like that and figured it out. You know what I mean? And like I said, in Texas, they can't figure out measles. They can't figure out flash flooding and stuff like that. I've seen reporting where that $10 million, they took the money, but they dispersed it and bought like a big fancy tank that they're not going to use or something like that. They gave some sheriff and some of that, but you know.
Like, yeah, seriously, that's what I don't understand about this country. Like, we can't figure out loss of life to prevent loss of life during hurricanes, during tornado warnings. Tornado warnings are like within seconds, but like you kind of know, you know, when it's coming. This country's been dealing with it for like hundreds of years, and flash flooding. Like, come on, we know. Like, we have meteorologists who can say this is how much rainfall is going to happen within the next week, which is potential for flash flooding. Please evacuate, and people still don't.
Yeah. My understanding is of what happened in Texas is like the people that read the numbers and stuff, I kind of did their job, even though they had their budget, people got fired, blah, blah, blah. But my understanding is the information did not get dispersed downward fast enough, you know what I mean? To the people, local people that had to see, you know, hit the alarms, blah, 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 you know what I mean? And also
it was hours late though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even if it wasn't hours late, like I'm pretty sure it went through some BS bureaucracy where it had to trickle down to people. Because there's pushback from like upper management saying, oh, but I can't close my stores. I can't close my businesses. Oh, we can't. Or like whatever governance is in the little towns where they're like, oh, well, no, I can't tell these people if we're not exactly sure it's going to hit over here. Like, we're going to lose a couple of days of business and that's going to be loss of income, blah, 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 blah. And that's what's more important.
I don't think that was it, though. Because I remember seeing the timeline was that they were warned about the flash flood early, like late at night, like after midnight kind of thing. And then...
Okay, but how does that... Like, why do they only know about a flash flood when they know about rainfall coming? Like, right when it's about to happen? That's kind of... Like, come on, that's kind of dumb.
Yeah, but the thing, but what I'm saying is
that that's a flash flood. It's hard. They're hard to forecast. They're not like hurricanes. We can see it days out or weeks out and some of that.
Right, but either way, they were warned. There was a warning to the central government of that city that, hey, by the way, you guys gotta watch out. There's a flash flood coming. But they were warned like after midnight kind of thing. They waited like until like 4 or 5 in the morning before they gave them all out to the rest of the people.
It's a distribution problem this time. So
that, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I mean, they could have, if they had the money to have the little siren thing that will just blare and they go, that would have been a lot easier.
Please leave. Exactly. Get out. Yeah. Get out.
This is preventable. Basically, what happened was it's one of those things where a decision they made 4 or 5 years ago had consequences. You know what I mean? That's what consequences are. You know what I mean? It doesn't have something doesn't happen immediately. It happens years, months down, exactly. months, years down the line. Some of that.
It's a domino effect.
No, actually, happened last year because last year, Biden with the IRA was going to give that city $10.5 million.
Was it last year? I thought it was 2000. I thought the was time it, stamp, I thought it was 2001.
Okay, let's go with 2001. I don't think it was that long ago. Hold on, I posted
it. It could have been. We've had technology for a few decades now.
No, I remember as much. It was when Biden was the president, because they were talking like we can't accept this money because it's Biden giving it to us, and if we accept this money,
it's like three or four of these guys. Not just one idiot. It's like three or four of these idiots say, you know what? This is the devil's money. This is a devil's.
Yeah, you saw the same video I did. Yeah, you saw the same video. It was the past couple of years because Biden was the president at the time.
Yeah. Oh, hopefully they're buried. Hopefully, if they had any decency, they would be buried underneath, you know, all the rubble. And, you know what I mean? They go down with the ship. You know what I mean?
They need to interview them again.
I know. At least the captain kind of went down with the ship, man. At least if these guys had any decency at all, they would just jump in a river. You know, you know what I mean? Just jump in a river. It's embarrassing.
And another thing that's annoying, though, is America's infrastructure and, like, how we build homes. The way we build homes here is very much like how Europeans built homes back in Europe. Like, we haven't adapted to the weather. Yeah, we haven't the settlers, the original settlers, have not actually adapted to the ways of the environment, of the climate here in this continent at all. Like, they're just like forcing the way that they want to build things because it's pretty and this is how we used to do things at home. Like, no. You need to adjust to how things are done. Like how in the Philippines, not all houses, but like back in the day, we used to build houses on stilts because flooding happens. And that's the way to avoid, you know, getting your house washed away or avoid, you know, having wildlife like crawl into your homes. So you build your house on stilts and it's just the way it is. You build it on with wood because it's easier to rebuild. And now we just like build houses on sticks in Tornado Alley, or we build houses with sticks and some stones in like a flash flood zone.
Yeah, we got bombs and stuff. We have nuclear power.
Oh, yeah. So important. So important.
So important.
Is that going to the show?
Absolutely. After credits, baby. After credits.
Yeah. Play that in Texas, man. Good Lord. Said that straight out of Texas. Good luck, guys.